Episode 128 of the TV Dudes podcast, recorded April 13th, 2017. Dreams and Nightmares.
Hey, birthday boy.
It's not my birthday yet.
Someone's got a birthday coming up.
I do have a birthday coming up.
Yeah, on Monday, I believe.
On Monday. I'm going to be 73.
73?
Yeah. Or it just feels that way.
You don't look a day over 60.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Backfiring
joke.
That's
good. No, I'll take it. I'll take it.
Right on. Well, Randy, what are you going to do for your birthday?
I'm doing karaoke. Yeah. Anyone who knows me, even a little bit, is not surprised by this.
You love karaoke.
I love me some karaoke.
And TV.
Yep.
And terriers in particular.
Terriers, I do. Also comic books.
Are you a fan of comic books?
I don't know if you know that I like comic books.
Man, I gotta say, you work at a comic book shop, you got one of the easiest jobs. I bet you just read comics all day long. Randy posted today, if he saw someone say that, he was going to murder them. So I might not make it to the end of this episode, folks.
It's just going to be me cackling madly into the mic by the end. I'll still post it.
Oh, yeah. Okay, thanks.
I'm a professional.
I appreciate it, but it might be evidence against you.
You know, I've never been the smartest guy.
Yeah, well, that's a dedication to this show.
Exactly.
You're dedicated to the TV
I'm
dudes.
I'm dedicated and very, very dumb.
Hey, I'm not going to argue there. I'm just going to say we are down to only just us two this episode.
Yeah, that's right. Ashley is on a secret mission for the government. I wasn't supposed to say that. Ashley is on a trip.
Ashley's on a trip.
Not a secret mission for the government.
No.
She is not going anywhere to assassinate anyone.
No.
Les was unable to be here because he is actually time traveling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's just on drugs.
Whatever.
Time tripping. He's tripping.
And Kyle is Kyle actually got taken away by his own drone.
Yeah.
Yeah, those things got sentient and flew him off.
He actually asked them for a ride to go get churros.
Yeah.
That's a reference to a Patreon episode. That's not going to make sense to no one.
I appreciate that. That is a nice deep cut. I also appreciate that we'll now know for sure which one of our co-hosts listens to the podcast when they're not here.
Oh, yeah. Like when we get a little message back, like, yeah, you listen. Well, so it's just Randy and I. We are the TV dudes. I'm Grant, by the way.
And I'm Randy.
Yes. And let's go ahead and get into it, because this week we are going to be talking about three shows. What do we call this show? Dreams and Nightmares?
Dreams and Nightmares.
Because we got people that are dreaming, people that are living nightmares, and that with the three shows we're talking about are Archer, The Get Down, all of season 2 or 1.5. I'm not really sure how you term it.
Season 1, part 2.
Yeah. And the premiere of season 3 of Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
But before we get into all that, quick reminder that if you guys want to support this show, a couple easy ways to do that. You can go over to iTunes, give us a 5-star rating, write a review. We'll read that here on the show, and it's a great way to give us visibility on iTunes. Should only take a few seconds for you guys, and it's free. If you guys don't like doing free things to help us, you're like, no, I want to give money. You can give some of your hard-earned cash you got to us over at patreon.com/TVDudes. We are very much appreciative of that. And we love you guys. In exchange, we do bonus exclusive content for you guys. We do little mini podcast episodes, about 30 minutes, pretty digestible, I think.
How many of those would you say we've got in the can right now?
We've got 52.
So if someone becomes a Patreon, or a patron, and they have not listened to any of them.
Yeah, they can listen to all of them.
They've got like
although they're going to be listening to a bunch of politics ones where we're like, ha, Trump's never going
to
win.
Yeah, don't listen to those. That's just going to depress you.
It's going to depress you.
Yeah, it's just going to depress you.
I should just pull those. That's just sad.
No, they stay up as a record of how wrong we were.
We are wrong sometimes. It's but true. Hey, appreciate you guys still listening to us.
It's true.
Where'd all our listeners go? They're gone.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's just you and me, Randy.
Okay, good. Let's just talk to each other.
Let's keep this going anyway.
But Grant.
Yes. Damn it.
As always, you have forgotten the third way in which people can promote us.
What's the third way, Randy?
So I don't know if you're familiar with these painting with a twist kind of things where you go and you drink some wine, you paint a thing that everybody paints in the room.
Yeah.
Usually a group of people and everybody's painting sort of the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
What they don't tell you is you can insert your own thing. So if you want to paint the TV dudes participating in your painting... then everybody in the room will get to see the TV dudes and be like, who are those guys looking up at Starry Night? And you'd be like, those are the TV dudes, and they watch TV, and here is their podcast.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, there's ways to promote us wherever you go in life, apparently.
That's all I'm saying. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, look at that orchid. Is that a guy coming out of that orchid?
It is, and he's holding terriers.
Yeah, that's Les. He's popping out. Hello. Okay, well, those are the three ways you guys can support us. If you guys want to support our other shows, we are part of a podcast network called the Permanent Record Podcast Network.
Permanent Record.
And there's a slew of shows that we have on there. You guys can check out Gilmore, which is a recap of the Gilmore Girls. You can check out Mr. Robot O, which is Mr. Robot. And this month, we are promoting Pilot Watching with Key and Clyde. Key and Clyde are a cute couple that review pilot episodes of all sorts of different TV shows, as well as...
I'd like to try something.
Yeah.
Pilot Watching with Key and Clyde. Do-do-do-do-do. What do you think of that?
That was good, yeah, actually.
Let me go with that.
Pilot Watching with Key and Clyde. Do 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 do.
That's a new theme song.
Well, there you go. So you guys gotta check them out because you're gonna hear a new theme song potentially on their show. That's pilotwatching.com, or you can also check them out at permanentrcrd.com.
Permanentrcrd.com.
Yeah, go give them some love. Let's move on to some listener questions, Randy.
Yep.
We got a good gaggle of these as well. And if you guys like us on Facebook, you guys can ask us whatever question you would like. But first, when we go to our questions, we first got to go check in with Nick Thies from the UGO podcast.
I love that we have recurring segments in our questions.
Buddy of ours who is continuing his Game of Thrones revenge plot saga. He says, good news. My friend is alive. Apparently, the poison just put him into an Archer dreamland-like coma. Hey, good reference to what we're talking about this week.
Hey, Nick's a pro.
Since he is in this new vulnerable state, I see no reason why the prank war can't continue. I've started playing TV shows in order to induce a coma reality for him to live in. I started playing a nonstop loop of Big Bang Theory and Two Broke Girls, hoping to create a laugh track sitcom hell for him to live in. I tried playing some Real Rob, but his heart flatlined for a minute during the first episode. The nurse said something about losing the will to live. Anyway, if you were in a coma, what TV dreamland would you like to slip into?
See, I feel like everybody knows what both of our answers are going to be.
Yeah.
Because the obvious answer is just Lost in Terriers.
Yeah, I would take Terriers, and you just love Lost.
I love Lost, yeah.
That's your jam.
But I want to say, I think that the thing is that most TV is going to be more dramatic than... Like, I don't want to slip into Breaking Bad, regardless of how much I love it. I don't want to live there.
I don't want to shit in the woods and be stung by mosquitoes and drink, like, gross water that's coming out of some mystery spring where there's a couple dead couple, Adam and Eve, living in a cave.
Right.
No, thank you. There's polar bears apparently on this island. I don't actually think I want to live in the Lost Land. I like watching it.
Yep.
But I don't want to be there.
So where could you live? And another obvious answer for me, by the way, and this might be a good one, but Cheers. You play a bunch of Cheers where I'm in the bar with all my buddies. That's not a bad dreamland.
It'd be bad for me because I feel like I'd be going back to the days of just shit beer. And I'd be like, oh, really? These are the options I have to pick from. Coors or Coors Light.
That's true. Yeah, see, that's the great thing about being a liquor drinker. Never changes. Vodka's the same no matter what year you're in.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I'm such a beer man, though.
Yeah, I know. It'd be bad for you.
I mean, I want to say something like, in a way, I want to say The Good Place, because they have a yogurt bar.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
But what, does it actually be The Good Place, or is it not The Good Place?
I feel like there could be ramifications, because they got drama there all the time. Yep. So,
what about The Simpsons?
The Simpsons. That would be so surreal.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I want to live in a place where I would have superpowers and everything's fun.
Okay.
What TV show is that?
I'm not sure what TV show that is.
Is there a show without conflict that exists? This is just like everything is great?
No, there is not. How about Top Chef?
Yes, I just want to live in the kitchen Top and Chef. Eat all the food.
Yeah, just go and eat all the food. Yeah.
That is a great idea. Yeah. We're gonna go with Top Chef. All right, thanks, Nick, and keep us posted on the continuing saga. Zach McLernan says, so, in this past year, in pursuit of life, parenting, marriage, hobbies, reading, comics, job, and all the good things, I've had to give up on some long-running shows in my queue that just declined too much in quality, or I simply couldn't find the time to watch. some of which I was truly bummed, while others I was joyfully casting aside to the drowned god. What is dead may never die. Does he post that? Like,
I think that's
been him.
Yeah, that's,
I think that's a recurring thing. Yep. Backstory there aside, is there a show which, after many years of watching, you finally gave up on begrudgingly or otherwise, many years obviously being relative? And if so, which ones and why?
I gave up on How I Met Your Mother because it started sucking.
Mm-hmm.
I do not regret that decision at all because I heard how the ending went.
Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We had to give up on.
Oh my God. I feel like that. I'm amazed I got out of that one without a rehab center. And I'm still, by the way, God damn it. They have all these ads in the comics and they're showing them and it's got like Hydra and the costumes look cool. And I have several friends on my feed posting things like, I can't believe how good Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has gotten. And I'm pretty sure they're all doing it just to try and make me watch it. I think there's a conspiracy to make me go back. But every often I get that twinge of, maybe I should check back in on S.H.I.E.L.D. And then Randy's id says, no, don't do that.
You have better taste than them, yeah. Randy. That's what it is. It's okay to turn your nose up at them.
I do.
The Walking Dead, I can't go back to. And you know what it is? It's that premiere episode. They killed the heart of the show.
Yeah.
And it's such a bleak show already. That was the last straw. And I didn't even think so at the time because I thought it was such a powerful, like emotionally powerful episode. But then I just realized I have nothing else to watch that for. I have no reason to go back to it.
You're like, I don't care how these people die, which is what this show is for.
It's just misery porn. Yeah. And I'm like, I got too much other great stuff to watch.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I know there's a couple sitcoms that sort of fell off my radar. Modern Family.
Dropped off.
And it did get worse, but it's still a well-produced show. It just, I'd seen enough.
I mean, I feel like I'm going to go back and catch up on Brooklyn Nine-Nine eventually, but it's not one of those that's top tier right now.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine is one of those that anytime it pops up, I watch pretty frequently. It's pretty high on my list.
Yeah. Well, there's a good list of shows that were dropping. Jonathan Haptemichael says, last weekend I finished Iron Fist after weeks of holding off on it. The dull plot and stretched out pacing made me think that the show could have easily cut its episode count in half. Thinking about this further, perhaps Iron Fist could have benefited as a 2.5 hour movie instead. It would not have been good, but it would have been easier to digest. Are there shows that you have preferred their seasons were condensed to? You would have preferred if their seasons were condensed to 2 or 3 hour movies?
I feel like it's all like later seasons of shows. It's the shows that you finished out because you wanted to finish them out, but you like weren't really into watching them anymore.
They become a little bit of a task. It's too long.
Yeah. Alias is a good example. Mm. I loved Alias. And then by the end, I was watching just to know what happened. And all the shows where you fall into like, I just want to know what happened. Yeah, give me a 2.5. Actually, he may have stumbled onto something great here because instead of like just making a 2.5 hour, maybe give an editor that job to cut a season of 13 or 22 episodes into a 2.5 hour movie.
You know what? We have a project that we have to do.
Yeah.
Someone took all 6 seasons of Breaking Bad and they cut it into a 2.5 hour movie.
Yeah.
And apparently it's fantastic.
Yeah.
We need to watch this.
I feel like, honestly, I feel like this could be a service to mankind for people who like don't have time to binge 22 episode seasons of, you know, or even 13 episode seasons of like 6 seasons of good shows, but who want to sort of be in the pop cultural loop.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, it makes me hurt a little bit that someone would choose not to watch all of Breaking Bad. But I understand you don't have time for everything. And you may be like, hey, this is a great way to know what all happened in the show, see the highlights. I think this could be a thing the internet should do.
Breaking Bad, don't skip that one.
No, don't skip it.
But what if we could watch 24 as 2.5 instead?
Oh my God, yeah. If I could catch up on the last 2 seasons of 24 as like, here is a 2.5 hour movie of what happened, it'd probably be great. There'd be great action sequences, memorable moments.
It would also go, beep, 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 beep.
Yes, yes.
That's too fast. That's so fast. All right, next question comes to us from Alejandro Rey Zapata, who says, finally, watching season 4 of The Americans on Amazon Prime. I've been waiting for it to come out since last summer. Was there a show that you dudes had to wait a long time to catch up on? Either from having to wait because the show was on a long break or hiatus, or you didn't have access to cable or streaming services?
The Expanse.
Yeah?
We waited on The Expanse for a while because we'd heard it was good. Mm. We all wanted to see it. And it didn't come on Amazon Prime until almost right before season 2 came out.
I feel like that wasn't ever my issue. It was that there's just so much other stuff. And unless, I find that unless you put something on my homework assignment for each week for TV Dudes, I don't take the time out to just like make sure I watch it.
Yeah, that's true.
And so that's why I kind of appreciate the homework assignments.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what the podcast does for us. Les also occasionally gives homework to me, which I pass along because he'll be like, when he discovered Travelers.
Oh, yeah.
That
yeah.
wasn't on my radar at all. And then I watched it and I'm like, oh, we should watch this. And then we all watched it. So yeah, it's not so much a lack of access kind of thing. It's more of a lack of time kind of thing that happens.
Yeah.
But definitely. Yeah, that's definitely, The Expanse is the closest thing. Like I didn't want to go searching for it, but I did want to watch it. And so I was really happy when it finally showed up on Amazon Prime.
I have means of watching anything
yep.
at any time.
Yeah.
On the internet.
You mean you have access to kind of a future machine?
Yeah. That's what I think that's the best way of saying it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're already incriminating yourself at the beginning of this podcast. No need for both of us to do it. Michael Gassini asks, I'm currently watching Fargo season 2. Congrats, Michael. It's great.
Yep.
And I have to say, Mike Milligan may very well be the most quotable TV character in the modern era. Can you dudes think of any other characters deserving of this title?
We discussed this a little before we got on mic. And by the way, I think both of us love Mike Milligan. Great character. I
mean, and his dialogue is fascinating. Yeah.
But we couldn't remember any particular dialogue from him.
Yeah. I don't think I could actually just bust out a quote. Nothing stuck with me. I think maybe because the guy is eclectic, but he's also verbose.
Yes.
And I can only memorize like one-liners or so.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm even stuttering right now trying to think of it.
I'm going to put up a couple of balding dullards as my potential characters in this most quotable. Homer Simpson and George Costanza.
Seinfeld in general.
Yeah.
Just think of all the yada, yada, yada.
For sure. But think of how many quotes you know from Seinfeld and think of how many of them are Costanza quotes.
Mm.
Jerry's quotable, but
salsa, 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 salsa. Yeah,
that is Seinfeld. I think
it is,
but it's Costanza originated.
Yeah, I think a lot of them are Costanza.
Yeah, I think he's the most quotable guy on Seinfeld.
And Simpsons. I mean, if you want to pare it down to one character,
it's Homer.
I gotta say, yeah, Homer's a good one.
Yeah,
Homer's the one who drops a bunch of dumb philosophy.
Yes.
Simplified philosophy.
Yep.
Into like one liner, two liners. Yeah.
Grant, if I were to say to you, dental plan, what would you say?
I don't know. I don't actually.
Really? You don't know that
dental
one?
Dental plan?
Yeah. This is the Homer one where Lisa needs braces. And there's like, it's actually Lenny saying it in his head.
Oh.
It's like, dental plan, Lisa needs braces. And it goes back and
dental
forth.
Dental plan, Lisa needs braces.
There is a TV network, I believe in the Netherlands, I can't remember where it was, that played a loop of that for 5 hours.
Oh my God. Kill me. All right, next question comes to us from Paul Mampilli, who says, so I was wondering, what are your favorite TV firings or resignations? Character based, by the way, not real life actors.
So we were talking about this a little before we got on mic too.
Because I would have gone off on Lost about like actors getting fired.
Oh man, every time you drink in Hawaii, and a Lost actor gets fired.
Michelle Rodriguez and the actress who played Libby.
Yep.
In an episode called Two for the Road, where they both get killed off because they both got pulled over drunk driving in Hawaii.
Yeah,
love it.
I thought of this as was going through this question.
Mm-hmm.
News Radio.
Oh yeah.
Has one of my favorite findings, and it's in the pilot because they've got this guy, he's a character actor, you'd know him, and he's like this obnoxious guy, Ed, who is the station manager, and Dave Foley's character gets hired to fire him. And it's spectacular because Dave is a nice Canadian guy and doesn't want to fire him. And the way it all works out is that he launches this big tirade about Dave and fires him, even though Dave cannot be fired because he's actually the station manager. so he now is emboldened to fire this guy because he's a big jerk to him. And there's a great walkout scene. Like, it is a great firing scene. It's one of the all-time great firing scenes, and it's hilarious.
I mean, the biggest one I always think of is George Costanza, once again, coming back to him, when he quits working for, is it Steinbrenner?
Yeah.
Yeah. He quits working for the Yankees.
Yep.
And then the next day realizes what a mistake he'd made.
Yep.
So he tries to go back in and just play it off
play
as
like
a
joke. He didn't, yeah.
And then he got fired.
There's a lot of great firings of Costanza. There's also the, I think, early, maybe first or second season where he has sex with a cleaning lady on his desk. And he goes in and gets fired, and the guy's firing at him. He's like, it is kind of my attention. You had sex with the cleaning lady. He's like, should I not have done that? Is that frowned upon here? Because if anyone had told me.
Oh, man, I love Costanza.
And I think we should mention at least Don Draper excels at being fired.
Oh, yeah. He got fired a couple times from the same job.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then they went, oh, shit, a client wants him back.
Yep.
Gotta go get him back.
Yep.
Dennis McElwain asks, are there any TV shows that you enjoy watching in the dark? I quite enjoy watching The Expanse in the dark. Gives space more substance, which that's a pretty good call.
That is a good call.
On a big TV?
Nice. I tend to watch movies in the dark, like if I have a movie night with people. Mm-hmm. But when I'm watching by myself, I don't have the lights on because I'm scared.
I watch a lot of stuff in the dark on my phone, like laying in bed.
Okay.
Yep. Because I watch a lot of stuff at 2.5 by 4 inches.
That's
or
crazy.
Yeah, it's a bad call, but I do it. X-Files is like one of the last ones I notably remembered how to turn off the lights for, but that was a long time ago. I was a young whippersnapper. All right, last question comes to us from Mike Chung, who says, if the death of one of your co-hosts is required to bring back terriers, which one would you choose, Randy?
I love the assumption by Mike Chung here that I would choose one of you to die so I could have another season of Terriers.
It's a foregone conclusion, I believe.
I love it because he's right. And the answer is whichever one has pissed me off last.
Oh, shit, I'm a dead man. Look, I just think that you have such a luxury working at a comic book shop. Randy, no, put down the knife.
A lot of news this week.
Light news week.
But there's some interesting news. And first of all, let's talk about Lost. Lost is in the news.
Yay!
Yeah. This is actually really interesting. So Lost producers have revealed there was an alternate series finale involving a volcano.
Mm-hmm.
That it was going to be, basically there was going to be a volcano that would erupt. And, you know, that big fight between Jack and the Man in Black was going to be in the midst of magma spewing everywhere. Also, the notion being that the volcano is sort of where the smoke monster would live, and that, you know, it seems more of a sinister place than a goofy hippie cavern that they lived in.
Yeah, some magical glistening cavern.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of like the idea, and, you know, I get why they couldn't do it because it was hella expensive.
Yeah.
But this idea of Jack fighting the smoke monster amongst magma going, and I just wanted them to outdo the magma battle in Star Wars 3.
That's not hard. That's right? Not hard.
I have the upper position or whatever he says.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just wanted to outdo that. But, yeah. I mean, that wouldn't have fixed other issues with that season. Right?
Did you just admit there are issues with the end of Lost?
There are issues.
Okay.
I admit that. I still love it.
Okay.
Someone asked on some Facebook post, they're like, what is a controversial geek opinion that you have? And like, go ahead. That you know that other people will kill you for. I'm like, I think that the final episode of Lost is great. And I think they answered all the questions on Lost. And everyone's like, holy shit, dude.
They probably just thought you were trolling.
Yep, not trolling.
So, Grant, I have not watched this yet, and I know you haven't either, but there's a show on Amazon's new pilot season called The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel from Gilmore Girls and Bunheads creator Amy Sherman-Palladino.
Okay.
It's been getting a lot of good buzz among some of our friends. Stars Rachel Brosnahan as Miriam Midge Maisel, a Jewish housewife in 1950s New York, who pursues an unlikely career in stand-up comedy. Her husband is played by Tony Shalhoub. Oh, sorry. Michael Zegan is her husband. Tony Shalhoub is her father.
Okay.
And it has been picked up for 2 seasons, which is a big pickup for Amazon.
Yeah.
I need to go watch this. I didn't really know what it was about, but everybody really loves this.
This is definitely one that is now on my radar. I need to go check it out. And I think that Gilmore Girls is a blind spot for both of us, right?
Yes.
We, neither of us have checked that out.
Right.
Which, hey, you guys should go check out Gilmore'd. It's another podcast on our Permanent Record podcast network.
Permanent Record.
There we go. Because they do watch that show.
Yes. I would hope so.
Yeah, so The Marvelous Miss Maisel. That's just an annoying name.
Yes, it's true.
But yeah, I guess we'll have to check it out.
Less locked down, but interesting. There is an animated Gorillaz TV show in development, and there's like a little trailer that's out there about it. It's 10 episodes being developed, but there's no network or anything related to this. I have no idea how real this is, but I hope it happens because it looks awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand, like, what the story is behind the characters.
Yeah.
I just know that the guys themselves never appear on stage. They just have their characters out while
they're the band. I imagine this would be kind of like The Monkees, but weirder.
Okay. Yeah, maybe they'll just release it online. Mm.
Yeah. Okay, so FX has a new show called Trust, which is based around a story that I'm not familiar with. 1973 kidnapping of oil heir John Paul Getty III by the Mafia. It's going to be directed and produced by Danny Boyle, Oscar-winning director.
Wow.
And Donald Sutherland is starring as J. Paul Getty, the founder of the Getty dynasty and grandfather of the kidnap victim. I was looking through this. So apparently his grandson's being snatched and tortured by the Mafia. At one point, they cut off his ear and mail it to his family. The obscenely rich eldest Getty is holed up in his English Tudor mansion with his 5 mistresses and pet lion, yes, too distracted to deal with the horrific events falling his grandson, and his son is out of his mind, or his father, the father of the kidnapped kid, is out of his mind on heroin, and the Italian police are convinced the whole thing is a joke.
It's like the worst person to kidnap.
And the only one left to negotiate is his financially challenged mother. This sounds dark and weird and just perfect for Danny Boyle.
Yeah. I mean, especially coming off of the train wreck, which was Train Spotting 2, apparently.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was never a good idea.
Yeah. He needs a new win.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
Donald Sutherland on TV? I'm for it.
Yes. Yes. Looking forward to that. Is back on FX for season 8, or is it FXX?
I'm not it really is sure. FXX. Yeah, he did move.
Season 8. And
is it season 8?
This is Dreamland. Now, did you see all of season 7?
No, I'm not even sure I saw all of season 6.
Me neither. I feel like I dropped off. I saw a little bit here and there of each of them.
Yeah.
But now it's on season 8, Dreamland, yep. And this is whatever plot device they use just to have an excuse for Archer to be in a coma so that he could have an entire season that takes place in
1930s.
Is it right? 30s? I thought it was 50s.
Oh, maybe it's the 50s. Yeah, you're right. It's the 50s.
50s noir.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, going on here. And what'd you think?
I didn't like it.
No?
No. I don't hate it, but I feel like Archer was at one point sort of larger than life and really outrageous and funny. Mm-hmm. And now I think they're trying to be like, there's a little bit of seriousness in there, which does not fit. It'd be like Always Sunny deciding to do a very special episode.
It did not seem like a show that was like actively seeking out jokes like it was, or ad nauseum doing the same punchline.
Right.
And I appreciated that in a way.
Sure.
And so I was just kind of able to fall back a little bit into the story, but it still has all the characters playing caricatures at this point.
Yeah.
And that's a little bit frustrating. I also found out the term for that. Yeah. It's called Flanderized.
Oh.
Based on Ned Flanders from The Simpsons.
Okay.
when he used to be just like a decent guy who was a little bit, who was religious.
Right.
And then it became, he's a complete crazy god nut.
Yeah.
And, okay. On the show. And so that's where the term comes from.
Interesting. Yeah. I don't know. I don't hate it, but I don't know that Archer is going to make my regular watch schedule with so much else to go. And I used to love this show. I mean, I went to see Archer live. We mm-hmm. both did.
Yeah.
And I own like three or four seasons on Blu-ray. Like, I really loved this show. But I feel like as it's gone on, like maybe it just has no new tricks, and they're trying their best. Like doing an '80s where they were selling cocaine and doing like the Archer Vice thing,
yeah,
should have worked. And it has some good stuff. Like Pam's getting hooked on cocaine and getting super skinny was hilarious.
It was pretty funny.
But it's like the only bit of fun in that whole series. It was like the rest of it didn't work, and it's like. And what Cheryl, like this season, that was the season that Cheryl was like a country music star. Like it wasn't like they weren't going out and doing crazy things. It's just like maybe the diminishing returns have set in.
So did you watch both episodes?
There were two.
There's a second one. I'm not sure. Maybe that one just came out.
I did not watch the second episode.
I mean, it picks up where the first one left off with, yeah. Which by the way, if you guys haven't checked this out, it's Archer as a private detective investigating the murder of his partner, Woodhouse, in the 50s. He's a former World War II vet who has PTSD,
yeah.
And he's also been drafted to follow up on another crime thing by a mob boss esque person who's basically Mallory Archer.
Yeah.
But it's not his mother in this dream.
She just calls herself mother.
So they kind of remix a lot of the characters into alternate roles in Archer's mind.
Right.
And how it's just kind of playing out. In the second episode, I thought it was a little bit stronger because I just thought it flowed better okay. as a storyline. But once again, it's not funny. It's just trying to tell a story. And I feel like, in a way, they're doing a good job of embracing noir,
yeah.
In that regard,
I mean that's interesting. I just don't think it's what I want from Archer, and I love noir.
Yeah, it's a switch in tone for the show.
I do love little things like I like Krieger being a bartender. I think that's a fun way to mix him in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I like Pam as like the buttoned up hard case detective. But yeah, it feels if anything too restrained, which is weird for Archer.
Too restrained and too reliant on, in some way, still wedging in the back history of all these characters to mm-hmm. kind of fit what we have come to expect of them, even though this is a fresh new take with all the characters.
Right.
It still feels like, oh, I don't remember the bad guy, the bad blonde guy who becomes a cyborg.
Barry.
Like, they have him show up, and then yeah. he runs over his legs, and once again, Krieger is recruited to make him into a cyborg. I'm like, you guys yeah. don't have to do that.
Yeah.
But it's once again kind of just falling into those patterns. I don't know if it's funny to me. Like, a lot of this yeah. just isn't funny.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's a little bit disappointing. Let's jump over to Netflix's The Get Down. Season 1, Part 2.
Yeah.
Which is 5 episodes.
Yep.
That fifth episode was a monster.
Yep. Yep.
It's an hour and a half, I think.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
I was a little disappointed in this one.
This is two strikes in a row.
Two strikes, yeah. But I loved the first season of this. Mm-hmm. And as it went on, I loved it more and more. And I like Baz Luhrmann. Like, I love his crazy out there thing. And I felt like some of the problems that Baz Luhrmann occasionally has is that his storytelling will disappear in favor of style. And I feel like in the second half of The Get Down, that happened a little bit. Like, I lost track of the threads of the plot. There was no consistency in whether or not we were supposed to be like, wait a minute, are we supposed to be supporting them as drug dealers? Just be a problem that they're drug dealers? Is there, you know, are we supposed to be written for books to go to Yale or not? Like,
I mean, I got a little bit of a sense that they left the door open for more, another season.
Yeah, maybe.
Did you get that?
I maybe it seemed weird to me because like, yeah, I wanted what I wanted at the end. And they did sort of imply that maybe, I mean, when they show the backup singers that maybe he and Mylene came back together in like a Jay-Z Beyonce kind of way, maybe.
Yeah.
Or maybe not. Maybe those were just other backup singers. They left it ambiguous.
Yes.
But since she was singing backup in the past and then the backup singers were there in the future, it seemed like maybe, but I wanted almost an Animal House style, like, this is what happened to these characters. I want to know what happens to Boo Boo after he gets picked up for dealing drugs.
This is
what
happened to Shao? like we were talking about the show 13 Reasons Why a few weeks ago, and it's another one that should just neatly wrap up and that's the end of the show and the series, but it does some stuff in the very last episode where it pulls out some "but what if more happens" for a second season, and you're like, oh, okay. Don't do that.
You know, it's funny. That didn't bother me as much, I think.
In that other show?
I think that 13 Reasons Why, if they do a second season, it could be good. And the same with the Broadchurch apparently had a really good second season, even though it's a good one-season show. But the Get Down, I don't know how likely it is that Baz Luhrmann's going to return to do another season of this.
I mean, it seemed like he wasn't... I don't know. I mean, it's got his stylistic mark on it.
Yeah.
But the one director, I wish I remembered his name, who was like doing almost all the episodes.
Right. Yeah.
He seemed to be doing a lot of that.
I guess that's true. I just, the thing about this for me is that I don't know that I want to see more.
Well, where I came down on this second half is similar to the first half. I was really bored and I couldn't get into it initially.
Yeah.
It was hard to kind of get over the style. I think in the first episode, it's like 20 minutes of recap of where these characters are at. And that was way too much. Give me 5 minutes and get it running.
Yeah.
And the fact that they were just kind of dawdling, taking their time with all that, I was like, come on. But once it started getting going, I got really into it, actually.
Interesting. Okay.
And I liked it more and more. I love that it took a pretty dark turn.
Yeah.
Because it's dealing with drug dealers and hard drugs and murder.
Sure, yeah.
In the first part. But it always seemed like there's that innocence and playfulness.
Right.
And then all of a sudden... main characters start dying.
And
there's all the pain that kind of goes with that. People going to jail. And I'm like, oh, okay. This is getting a lot more serious.
The problem to me is a lot of it seemed very out of left field. All of a sudden, what happens with her father seemed very, very sudden. Like, all of a sudden, he's out of the picture in a sort of traumatic way. And then the whole thing with Boo Boo getting picked up was very sudden. Herc's, or not Herc's, the disco guy, forgetting his name.
Oh, yeah.
Cadillac. Cadillac's turnaround, I didn't buy at all.
Yeah, well, I mean, I thought what Shaolin Fantastic says to him about, like, look, we came from the same circumstances. Mama was a fat Annie was abusive to both of us, and we both weren't able to, our wings were clipped, and we both have the right to kind of step away from this. I thought that in itself, like, sold it to me, because he always seemed to have a passion for disco and yet was, like, still trying to hold on to his thug life, I guess, in a way.
I guess I just, it didn't seem consistent at all with the character we'd seen before.
I agree, but I don't know. I was willing to accept that as they were kind of tying up a bunch of loose threads to resolve this overall.
I felt like the resolution was rushed.
Yeah. Although, I mean, it's weird because a lot of this seemed really slow and drawn out.
And that's the thing. There are 5 episodes here, but there's not 5 episodes of story. Mm-hmm. But there could have been if they'd paced it differently. I thought it was weird that they kept focusing on things that we already knew. Like, Mylene's whole thing between being a sexy disco and the religious disco and all this kind of stuff. Like, that whole storyline was in stops and starts, and it didn't feel like a through line. It felt like they just returned to it and they're like, let's do this. Like, they kept doing the same story over and over again.
Yeah, I can see that.
And the same thing with Books and his, like, whether he was going the straight life or the street life of music. And I feel like they kept hitting the same points over and over again rather than moving everything along. And then at the end, they just sort of wrapped it up really quickly.
There was very much a rush to the breakdown of relationship between Shao and Books at the end. It was last 10 minutes. And all the "we're family" thing just dissolves.
Yeah.
And they try and, like, just throw a song over top of it to kind of help explain it. But I'm like, are you guys just doing this because you're waiting for a second season? That's why I was kind of like, this seems awkward if that was the goal.
I also thought the sort of Greek chorus of him doing his modern day show was an interesting device in the first season, but I got tired of it really quick in the second half.
Yeah.
I was like, I get it. He's popular. He's, like, he's narrating it, but they'd spend too long on it. I also, by the way, Dizzy's animation stuff got on my nerves.
Yes. That part made me think that, I mean, we heard rumors about, like, there being trouble with this show, like how they directed it and had to cut stuff together. Like, did they have
bunch of parts that they needed to fix by just putting animation and audio there?
I think that's possible.
That's what I kept thinking. And I was like, was there issues between... what's the young Smith?
Oh yeah, Jaden Smith.
Jaden Smith and other actors like that.
I think it's
had
possible.
Him keep disappearing from the story.
I think it's possible because yeah, he's like out of the whole story for the most part.
Yeah, he's like doing his own thing, or they kind of cover him being a character within the show through animation.
Yeah, I do think that might have happened. I don't know, but you're right. I'd forgotten about the sort of the difficulties, and that may be the animation why it's in there. But it sticks out. It did not work.
There's also a hilarious scene I thought where the three brothers are sitting on the couch,
yeah,
shirtless.
Yeah,
And Jaden Smith is ripped.
Yeah.
Yep. And the other two. Yep. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Like, the other two have never done a push-up in their life, and it's like all he's doing.
I do want to say, I continue to like the musical bits. Like, every time the Get Down Brothers were performing, I really liked that. Every time Miley was performing, I really liked that.
I also noticed, like, the evolution of the lyrics. Like, it started off with... you know, them rapping kind of just simplistic,
right,
playful, yeah, child raps. And by the end, there was like actual powerful messages and weight to what they were saying. I'm like, I like how they did that. Like whoever, like I think Nas was a big influence on a lot of the lyrics in this. And it's just fantastic.
Yeah. The finale where they bring in Grandmaster Flash and Cool Herc Africa Bombada, like that was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I do think the musical stuff was good, and I like this one to keep watching it, but I wasn't as gripped as I was by the first half.
I don't know. I think I came away from this overall more positive than I expected, but yeah, still, it's not going to be my top tier of shows.
Yeah.
I don't think. But what is most likely going to be one of my top tier shows, let's go ahead and get into it. Season 3 of Better Call Saul, it is back.
Yeah.
What'd you think, Randy?
Episode 1, Mabel.
Mabel.
I was not disappointed in this one. And what we talked about this a little bit before we got on mic is that this is a slow episode. Not a lot happens. They spend, as they always do, they spend a lot of time on the flash forward to Gene, the Cinnabon manager, and his sad, pathetic life.
I love how much they take their time with that. And usually that's something that irks me about shows. I'm like, you guys are moving too slow.
Yep.
But this one always seems smart and methodical, and with great purpose, it takes its time to sell certain scenes to us.
This is one of the things that Vince Gilligan and his crew have always done well. Breaking Bad did it too.
Yeah.
They know to if they play things slow that they can really amp up tension later. Mm. Because when things start going down, it's much more powerful when we haven't been in that tension the whole time. So you're building up tension to release it later.
Yeah.
Like this scene, the thing where they do Mike taking apart the car.
So great.
It's one of their great like montage things where like he's looking and trying to figure out where this bug is. And what I love is they don't tell us what he's looking for.
Mm-hmm.
We know because we're in his head. And that is a really impressive, like, it's not dialogue based. It's sort of context based, but you have to be paying attention. And then when he figures out where it is, that is also like, he doesn't say, aha, it was this. He goes and does it. And you're like, and maybe you're ahead of him. Maybe you're not. Like,
yeah. What's your play here? And,
yeah.
And for a while, it's like, I was trying to figure that out too ahead of time. I'm like,
yeah,
I don't know what he's doing with replacing it with a different one. What is this? Like,
right.
What's he going to do? Oh shit.
Yeah.
So, okay. We didn't say spoiler, but obviously we're spoiling everything.
Yeah.
So at the end, he has these people come pick up the tracer because he forced intentionally had the battery fail.
Yep.
And now he's using the other tracer to go follow them back to wherever they take it, because I guess they couldn't think to just change a battery.
Right.
No,
they did change it.
They did?
Because he puts a new gas cap on it. Doesn't the guy take the gas cap and put a new... because when Mike gets in the car, he pulls the gas cap up and throws it in the bushes so they won't see him coming.
Wait, oh, yeah?
Yeah. If you notice, the guy who pulls up comes, takes the gas cap to replace it probably, and puts another one on that probably has a fresh tracer on it.
Oh.
And then Mike, when he goes out to get in his car to follow the guy, pulls the gas cap off and throws it in the bushes.
Oh, why would he take the old gas cap?
Because they're going to go replace... I'm sure that they're going to replace the battery.
Oh.
Also, he couldn't just leave the old gas cap there, because that might raise questions.
See, that's even smarter.
Yeah.
But where do you think he's going?
Oh, he's going to Gus.
You think you're going to
100% going to Gus? Now,
Pollos Hermanos.
I don't think it's Pollos Hermanos. I think maybe it'll be Gus's operations or something like that. But I think that's where he's going.
Sweet. And
I almost wonder, because we know Gus is super smart, whether this was meant to be a recruitment test. Like, he's going to get there, and this was the plan all along was to see if he'd figure it out, to see if he'd do something.
I mean, that makes Gus into a sort of god. I feel like
not really.
If Gus sees that he's able to do that, then he knows this guy's really smart and savvy, and I need him on my side.
Yeah, well, because Gus left him a note.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he said, don't. And then he probably put a tracker on his car. Now, you could say, okay, maybe Gus just wants to keep track of a guy who's possibly going to interfere with his operations. But I think Gus saw expertise in this guy. I mean, he was going to use his Marine sniper training to take this guy out. That he saw, he's like, you know what? Let's put a tracer on his car. And if he figures it out and comes and follows me, we'll offer him a job.
Nice.
I could be wrong, but I think that Gus probably knew exactly what he was going to do.
You know, Giancarlo Esposito, he was in The Get Down.
Yep.
And
he was not great in The Get Down.
And I'm excited to see him back as Gus, because he was great as Gus. It was a fantastic character, and I feel fantastic directing for that actor.
Yeah.
But he was over the top and annoying in The Get Down. And in most roles I've seen him in lately, I just don't... I'm like, is that actor good, or is he just like working with really good people when he's on Breaking Bad? And
I think that actor's good, but he's one of these guys who doesn't maybe get the best parts always.
Well, let's talk about Jimmy. What's going on with him?
Yeah, it's funny thing. This is Saul's show, but in the modern day, Jimmy doesn't really have a lot to do this time. Like, he talks to... I mean, we see the sort of the payoff to him talking to Chuck from the end of last season, where Chuck is tape recording him.
Yeah,
and he basically confessed to something because he doesn't think Chuck has anything on him. And then we see him and Ray sort of having some tension because of Jimmy's sort of slapdash manner and Ray being not that way and him starting to resent. I mean, she's always been a little resentful of him being so sort of loosey-goosey with the law. That's what that almost caused them not to be partners.
Yeah.
But now that they're partners, some of the tension's coming from Jimmy. He's kind of getting annoyed at her basically Jiminy Cricketing him.
The acting that he does when he's confronted by the soldier was fantastic.
Oh, it was so good.
Where he toggles between being an aggressive dick and like how much he wants to lean into being that type of person versus like just trying to negotiate or back off or just plead with him.
Yeah.
And it's just like such a range of it that it was just like, this is great. You see Saul Goodman in him, but you also see a good person in him who doesn't want to necessarily be that.
I'm shocked they brought that guy back. That was a little pop. I was like, oh, that was a cute moment. But to see that guy come back and to see that Jimmy has repercussions from even the smallest bit of scams that he does was really interesting and sort of shows that he's been building to Saul this whole time.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's going to happen with him and Ray because the tension there is really strong. And again, not a lot of spoken. This is like real tension between real people. Like they're being polite to each other. They're being even sort of playful with each other sometimes. But you can tell that they're both sort of boiling a little bit.
Yeah. Now, his brother and what's his name?
Oh, the assistant whose name I've forgotten.
The assistant. I like comparing this and contrasting it to Mike.
Yeah.
Like, Mike has a plan. He's very quiet and pulls it off and is just emotionless about the whole thing. Just gets it done. Very methodical.
Yep.
And you see Chuck pulling off his plan, and he's all like, I hope it doesn't work, just in the fact that it was so heavy-handed, and the audience watches him doing it, and you're like, all right.
Well, that's the thing. Chuck is smart, but he is also, he's got a blind spot where his brother's concerned, and he's crazy. We got to remember, this is a crazy person.
Yeah, I mean, does he hate him? Does he actually, like, really just want to hurt Jimmy?
I think his thing is he's always felt like Jimmy got away with stuff. I think Chuck feels like he had to work for everything, and Jimmy got to be this fun guy who did whatever he wanted. And then Jimmy wanted to come in and become Chuck without having put in his dues.
Yeah.
And I think to Chuck, there is no amount of dues that Jimmy could ever pay.
And he just always wants Jimmy to be subordinate.
He's always gonna want more from him. He always wants Jimmy to pay more dues, but he never actually wants to pay him off for all the dues he's paid.
Yeah,
he doesn't ever want to give him equality. Yeah.
So the one other question I have, and that is about the intro sequence, the flash forward, I guess,
yep.
where he's working at Cinnabon. He watches the kid trying to steal tapes. Yep. And first he narcs on him, and then he has a crisis of conscience and, yep. and yells to the kid, "Don't say anything, get a lawyer."
That whole moment was so good because it shows just how beaten he has been at this point. Mm-hmm. Like, all he had to do was say, "I didn't see anybody."
Mm-hmm.
That's all he had to do. He wasn't going to get any trouble. And the kid would have gotten away, and he would have been true to himself. But he's so scared of being caught, because now he's been so well and truly caught, and he's been punished by exile into the purgatory of Cinnabon, Omaha, or wherever he is.
Yeah.
That even the slightest hint at authority, and he buckles. And that is so anathema to who he's been.
Yeah.
So to see him, like, you know, he can't even say it. He just points quietly. He can't even give himself cover by, like, pointing and then saying, "Sorry, didn't see anybody," so the kid doesn't know he narked on him. Like, none of that. That's the, like, baseline Saul.
Yeah,
would
right?
be to nark for his own benefit, but at least say something so the kid doesn't know he narked on him.
He's a shell of the person yeah. that we are used to seeing. Yep.
But then when he sees this kid and he sees authority sort of enforcing itself on someone who, whether it's, Saul's not really a champion for the underdog, but he is definitely a champion for people who are running up against the law.
Mm-hmm.
So when he sees this kind of thing that he used to defend against every day, it sort of spurs him back up. He can't resist. And the cops are just bewildered. Like, just why did this guy suddenly get involved? What the hell?
I think the guy goes, "You asshole."
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, this causes him to have, I guess, basically a panic attack or something that makes him just collapse.
Yeah.
And we don't get to see what happens there, but we sure can speculate.
Yep.
And I imagine he'd go to the hospital.
Yep.
And, I mean, I wonder, like, is his identity at risk? Like, to what extent?
Is he
going to be covered if he just goes to a hospital and gets better?
He's not in witness protection, right? He just went with a disappearer. He's like privately with witness protection.
Mm-hmm.
I assume that's probably pretty good, but I could definitely see where he's in the hospital and it's a danger to him. I also think these guys are jerks, because we're not going to see this till the end of the season.
I mean, we might not even see the follow-up to him passing out. That just might have been a way of showing where his mind state is and that
it's possible.
He has that itch to come back.
Yeah. Here's the interesting thing. Better Call Saul works as a prequel because we're really interested in seeing how Jimmy becomes Saul.
Mm-hmm.
This is a problem. Everybody's talked about the problem with prequels. I mean, Star Wars is the most obvious example, but problem with prequels is you know the ending.
Yeah.
Like, we know where Jimmy's going and when, but the fact that when Heisenberg shows up in his life, we're basically, that's the end of Better Call Saul, unless they do something crazy like show us Breaking Bad through Saul's eyes, which, by the way, would be amazing, but I don't think they're going to do it.
Yeah.
But they also have this
parallax show.
They also have this thing where we don't know the ending of his future.
Yeah.
And so they're doing the thing, they're doing the sequel that we all kind of wanted, but which wouldn't have been a satisfying show on its own, as long with the prequel. And as a result, we're just engaged in the whole thing.
And the fact that they took a character that was minor enough that we didn't know a lot of his backstory.
Yeah.
And now we get to find it in the most fascinating way. I mean, I always think that you can't just make a blanket rule for any situation.
Yes.
Because someone who's great enough at writing can always outshine. They can show that it is doable.
Yep.
And a show like this shows that, yeah, you can make a prequel to something and make it really fucking good.
Yeah. Honestly, if they wanted to go after this and do the story of that skinny-looking, high-school-looking cop and show me his story, you could do at least a couple seasons on that guy.
Yeah. The show is amazing.
Better Call Tuco.
So
also, let's see Better Call Tuco.
Better Call Tuco. This might be the show that we have to follow up on week to week.
Yep.
Because I guess can't get enough. But we're going to go ahead and call it there for the week. Randy, an early happy birthday to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Grant.
And that goes for the rest of our audience. They say happy birthday to you.
Oh, that's nice. Thank you, everyone.
Yeah, I speak on your behalf because no one listens to us anymore.
We left them early in the show.
Yeah, they all just dropped off.
Yeah.
But fans that did hang on, we appreciate you. And, you know, once again, we want to say you guys know how to support us.
You do. There's three ways to support us.
So get to doing that wine and painting thing.
Yep, it's very important.
All right, Randy, until next week.
TV Dudes out.
The TV Dudes is an independently run podcast and a member of the Permanent Record Podcast Network. We are exclusively listener supported. If you'd like to help us out, please go to patreon.com/TV Dudes. You can like us on Facebook and Twitter at TV Dudes and help us out on iTunes by giving us a 5-star rating and writing a review. To find out more about us, go to thetvdudes.com and permanentrcrd.com. I'm Grant Davis. Thanks for listening.